Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
I just wonder what was in that trash can. And made that guy really upset. But my name is Pastor Jim. I lead our Las Vegas campus, and today is Pastor Swap Sunday. So Pastor Ron is in Las Vegas, and I get to be with you guys. And I want to welcome Cal State to be with us. And anybody that's watching online, is so good to be with you guys. And we are getting emotional. And how many of love those little characters when you send out a text message? It's like, I can't send a text message now without an emoji on there. How many are playing the emoji game? How many know somebody that uses them way too much? Yeah? It's like some people use them so much that we're using them instead of words. Like, you know, and I think emojis are good because I remember a few years ago, you would send an email or a text message, and the bad thing about emails and text messaging as far as communicating with other people, they don't know the feeling behind your typing. And so sometimes I've sent emails or I've sent a text message and people just assumed I was upset or, you know, I was like angry or whatever. And so they got mad at a text message. Has that ever happened to somebody? So emojis are good because it kind of gives you the tone of how these people are talking to you on an email or a text message. But like, I think like we are out of control now because people are using this instead of like regular words. I saw this meme the other day and I thought it was so good. It says 4,000 years later and we're back to the same language. You guys get that? All right. That was pretty funny, I thought. But let's see how you are in your emoji translation. I'm going to put up a couple phrases and see if you can guess what this phrase means by just using only emojis. Okay, are you ready to play? Cal State, are you ready to play? All right, let's put up the first one. See if you guys can identify this game. See if you can put your heads together. Maybe ask the person you came here with, have them give you a clue. All right, how many have the answer? All right, put up the answer there. Angry birds. Okay. Yeah, let's do one more here. Let's do a movie. This one's a little bit trickier. Here's a movie for you. Ask your neighbor. Maybe they can give you another hint. Okay. Let's put up the answer there. Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs. Yeah, that one's a little bit trickier, huh? How about I give you an easier one? Here's a song. Let's do a song. Only with emojis. See if you can figure this song out. Yes. Thank you, somebody over there. All right, let's put up the answer. I heard it through the grapevine. All right, give yourselves a round of applause. You're good at emojis. Somebody, I was reading online, they're trying to do an emoji translator so that we can do like a whole book with only emojis. I think that is just crazy. All right. But what I think is good and fun to talk about emojis is because I want to talk about a subject today that affects us all called emotions. And so this is a kind of a fun way to talk about it, emotional. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. So get them out, turn to Deuteronomy. I'm going to pray. I want to give a shout out. My friends Dusty and Crystal Marshall are in the house. They were with us in Vegas. They moved to Arizona. So I don't know where you guys are sitting at. Okay. Yeah, you guys are third row. All right. Welcome. See, Bakersfield people always go to Vegas, but it's really hard to tell the Vegas people to come to Bakersfield. It just doesn't work like that. But today it did. So Dusty's got a great hip-hop gift, and he's a good rapper. So anyway, you'll have to check him out online. But let me pray, and we'll get in talking about this subject of emotions. Father, I thank you, God, that you are here to transform us and to change our lives into what you dreamed our lives should have always been like. And so, Father, we give you that ability this morning. We set ourselves aside so that, God, you can challenge us, encourage us, convict us, so that we will become the people that you have called us to be. Anoint me as your vessel this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so how many of you would be willing to admit that sometimes you struggle with your emotions? Yeah, a lot of us, okay. Now, I would say that if you are a passionate person, you're a person with a lot of emotions. You probably tend to cry easy. You tend to get angry easy. You tend to get frightened easy. But growing up, I was a passionate person. I've been a passionate person since I was little. I was the kid that was at the grocery store at 3 years old, that when I didn't get what I wanted, I would throw myself down on the floor and I would kick, you know, and pound the ground. And, you know, my mom was the best mom ever. You know how she responded to that? She went to the other aisle and made me think I was somebody else's child. I got over that one quick. But, you know, growing up, you know, I've put holes in walls. I kicked doors in. Why? Because I had a temper. And so I was highly emotional. And it took God getting a hold of my life and changing me so my emotions stopped controlling me and so that I could start controlling my emotions. That's what it takes. And what I've seen as a pastor over these, you know, several years that I've been a pastor is that really good people can be enjoying a really good life, but in a moment of uncontrolled emotion, they can sabotage relationships, they can sabotage opportunity for their futures, and it's gone like that. So this is why this is such an important topic, because some of you need God to get a hold of your life so that you'll stop ruining relationships and sabotaging the future that God wants to give you and give you the opportunity to enjoy. And so this is why we want to talk about this. Now, let me tell you, even though you're a Christian, and even though God's gotten a hold of your heart, and even though maybe you could say even that you've been set free from some things, you know, being set free from something doesn't mean that that thing is going to disappear out of your life forever. Because anything that you struggle with is going to pop its head back up at some given point in your life. You know that, right? But see, as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, the difference is when that thing surfaces back and wants to come visit you, you don't have to let it in your house anymore and let it, you know, kick back for a couple weeks. You just say, hey, keep on going down the road. Because it will try to visit you. And see, my emotional tendencies try to visit me every once in a while. And, you know, if you're a parent, you know that you become the most emotional when it involves your kids, doesn't it? Now, my son, a few years back, he decided he wants to start, you know, playing competitive soccer. And so we do this club soccer team, and we're all over the place doing soccer games everywhere. And we were visiting this place, and he had a game. And they were playing like some older boys. And the goalie, he looked like he was 40 years old. I'm like, what? This doesn't seem fair. I want to see like a birth certificate on this guy. This is crazy. So my wife and I are spectators, and we're watching this game. And we're, you know, the stadium seating is full where all of our parents are for our team. And so there was some other stadium seating down the way, and it was empty. So we went down there and we were sitting kind of by ourselves, but we were sitting opposite this goalie, and I just kept telling my wife, going, this guy just, he looks like he's 40. I'm sorry, like, this is crazy. Well, there comes a moment in the game where one of our boys, not my boy, but I feel like all these boys are our boys, and our, this boy comes out, and this goalie like slides and goes on top of our player. And I'm watching this happen. And, you know, that's soccer. You know, I didn't think soccer was, like a contact sport, but it very much is. And so this goalie is on top of our player, and I see him giving him the business with his elbows. He's like laying on top of him, taking his time. And I'm like, Ralph, don't you see this is going on? And I'm, you know, I can feel myself getting real passionate in this moment, you know, kind of feeling like I need to stick up for this player. And so, you know, he gets back up, and they're kind of breaking away. And this goalie then decides to tell this player, what'd you say? That's what I thought. And he walks back. And I don't know what came over me. And I just said, shut your mouth, kid. Then he turns back to me and says, you shut your mouth. feeling myself going towards the soccer field now. And my wife is there with me, and I'm like, you know, I kind of come to, and I realize, like, what am I doing? And then, right, the remorse kicks in. Like, what am I doing? And my wife's like, yeah, he deserved that, you know? She was right with me. She's Italian, right? So I'm feeling bad, and I'm just thinking, okay, you know, maybe the parents didn't see me because we were kind of down a ways, and, you know, hopefully nobody heard, you know, that me and this goalie, you know, but I was telling him, like, he was 40, so it would have been an even thing here, so we'll be all right. So the game ends, and we're there, we're waiting for our son, all the other parents and the other players, and I'm like thinking, you know, that was whatever. And then my son comes up to me, all the other players are with him, and goes, hey, Dad, I heard you almost got in a fight with the goalie. What? He's like, yeah, all the players, we were all talking about that. I'm like, wow. And meanwhile, another parent knows I'm a pastor. He's going around telling all the parents, hey, did I tell you that, you know, Josiah's dad's a pastor? I'm like, not now, man, not now. Not now, please. But you know, it's like you can be set free and you can be enjoying yourself, and just that moment that guy cuts you off, or that moment where you just get scared of that spider, and it's just like, you just, all bets are off. It's like, you know, taking that crazy uncle to the family reunion and you know, somewhere where it's like afterwards you're having to, I apologize, you know, he didn't mean that, he didn't mean to say that. It's like our emotions are like that crazy uncle sometimes. And so this is why this is such an important message, because I'm so tired of emotions sabotaging relationships that God wants me to invest in for his kingdom. And I'm so tired of my emotions getting the best of me and ripping me off from the opportunities God wants for my future. And you should be tired of it too, right? So this morning we're gonna talk about the two primary things that you and I both need in place in our lives. This is a very practical message. Sometimes we get deep into Bible study. This is a very practical message this morning about how to experience the life that Christ wants you experiencing. And there's two things that need to be put in place with your life if you're going to be successful in the area of being emotionally pure and right. And that is conviction and control. Conviction and control. And the Bible actually talks a lot about these two things, conviction and control. Now, what I like about the idea of conviction is that God has a specific way that he wants us to live our life. And when he designed you and I, the crazy thing here is he designed us with emotions. So emotions by themselves, I want to tell you, church, I want to tell you, Cal State, emotions aren't bad. Emotions are there to help us to achieve what God wants us to achieve. But see, those emotions were always meant to be in the context of convictions and control. And both those things were broken when our relationship with God was severed. And so the reason our emotions aren't right is because we're broken people because of our problem in our relationship with God. We need a relationship with God restored to get things back into this position. But this is how God talks to us about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is in the Jewish culture, this is like the text that little Jewish children memorize before they memorize any other text in the old scriptures. It's known in the Jewish culture as the great Shema, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, and it says, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Verse 3. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. In other words, if you obey, here's what's waiting for you. Now, it's summarized down in verse 24, and this is what it says, and the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to what, church? To bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. In other words, God says that if you obey me, there's something in that obedience that I want to use so that I can bless you and preserve you. In other words, when you're disobedient, I don't have the opportunity to bless you and preserve you like I want to do. In other words, obedience, if you want to look at it, is like boundary lines for your life. And the boundary lines for your life is the area of conviction. In other words, God is saying, if you live this way and you're convicted to live this way, then everything will go the way I want it to go for your life. But if not, then there's going to be a breakdown. See, the problem in our culture and the reason a lot of you are struggling emotionally is that our culture is not following a biblical worldview on our emotions. The world is following quite the opposite. Matter of fact, I have a chart that kind of shows you what I'm talking about in as far as how these two kind of ideas or these views kind of conflict with each other. See, the modern worldview of our culture says that emotions are who we truly are. In other words, how you feel is who you really are. So if you ask anybody in our modern world about their emotions, they're going to say, yeah, the emotions, that's who I am. I feel this way because this is the true self that I am. And so those emotions then give you certain thoughts, and those thoughts then lead you to convictions or kind of guidelines on how you're going to live your life. But the biblical worldview is the opposite. The biblical worldview says, no. The word, God's word, is to be the guidance of your life. And that guidance is then going to produce certain thoughts. And those certain thoughts are then going to make way for certain emotions. Now, this popular worldview kind of became really popular in the 1960s. There were a lot of different sociologists and philosophers that were coming out and kind of giving us these versions. And a social science professor named Herbert Simon popularized a view by saying this. He said, rational thought all stems ultimately from emotions. And so for the last 40 years, we've been teaching our fourth graders that if it feels good, do it, because you're just being real and true to who you really are. That's a lie. That's not even truthful. But Disney goes along with it and makes all these nice, wonderful, feel-good movies. And what is the message of all these movies? Follow your heart. Your heart will lead you to your true love and all of this stuff. And we just buy it and we're like, yeah, that's... And so now we're basing who we are on these emotions. But see, what the modern worldview refuses to acknowledge and doesn't equate into their formula is the fact that the emotional center of who we are, it's busted, it's broken. It's not right. Matter of fact, listen to how the Bible describes our heart. Now, when the Bible describes the heart, and it talks about the heart like 900 times in Scripture, it talks about it as like the emotional factory. It's where the emotions are kind of manufactured. And this is what Jeremiah says about the heart. He says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately what, church? It's sick. Who can understand it? Now look how the message says it. It says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. Now, this is so important for you guys to understand. A lot of you are basing life decisions on your emotions, but you're failing to take into consideration your emotions are broken. And the only way for your emotions to be made well again is that you have different kinds of thinking, because your thoughts actually produce your emotions. And so you might want to just kind of follow the trail here. So if your thoughts are producing your emotions, then how do you get a hold of your thoughts? And the Bible says you get a hold of your thoughts by following the convictions that God has given us. And that is what helps us get our emotions under control and stops our emotions controlling us. That's how it works. Now, think about scriptures like this. Let me give you a couple to consider. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So, in other words, when our thoughts change, the emotions change. And when our emotions change, we start stepping into the Deuteronomy 6 promises of God. The emotions are there to lead you to the promises of God, not to sabotage the promises of God. But in order for them to lead you to the promises of God, they have to be led by conviction, which then changes the way you think, which then changes the way you feel. Are you tracking with me? Now, let me give you one more scripture to kind of show you guys what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In other words, the way we're going to change our emotions is we're going to take our thoughts and we're going to make them be obedient to Christ. We're going to make them. Do you know that you can't control every thought that crosses your mind, but you can control what thoughts you decide to dwell on, to really dig into, to really make a part of who you are? And it says here, the way we change those thoughts is we tell our thoughts, hey, we're going to be obedient to Christ. That's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to be successful in living out healthy emotions for our life, where our emotions stop controlling us and we start controlling our emotions. Well, not only do we get these cues from God's word about conviction, but Jesus comes on scene and he says, guys, I know you struggle with this. So in John chapter 15, he starts talking to them about giving them a helper. He says, I'm going to send a helper to you guys because you guys are broken and need a lot of help. And this helper is actually going to put the conviction on the inside of you. Like even on top of like reading God's word and understanding the way God wants you to live your life, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to help you by allowing you to feel the conviction on the inside. So when you start veering off course, the minute you do, there will be a little bell, a little warning light says, beep, 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 you're going off course, get back on course. Why? Because as you stay within the boundaries and the guidelines of how God wants you to live your life, your thoughts are going to stay facing and moving in a certain direction, and that will then create emotions or a response that will then go into that same direction. See, God has given us this conviction so that you can then let those thoughts guide you to certain emotions. So here's the question about this idea. How's it going with conviction? What areas of your life have maybe the lights on the dashboard went on? Maybe it's somebody that you shouldn't be dating. Maybe it's a place that you shouldn't be visiting. Perhaps things that you've been spending money on. I mean, convictions can pop up in all kinds of different places, but stop looking at those convictions as things of just simply making you feel bad that you're not living right. Look at those convictions as God's way of trying to help you feel good. That God is putting those convictions in place so that you can ultimately have the emotions, the healthy emotions he wants you to have. That's how we ought to look at it. Now, the second part of this is the control. Is control. Because, you know, a lot of us, we say, hey, I mean well, but I just can't seem to control myself. I get that. That's why, again, God's given us a helper called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's there to give us control that we don't have on our own. And see, here's the crazy thing. We can control our emotions. Do you know that? We can control them. Okay, you might freak out with your family, but if I showed up at the grocery store and you were having a blowout fight with your spouse or you were getting on your kids and you were losing your temper and you saw me coming down the aisle, you know, I've seen this. I've seen this with people, man. They like their whole countenance changes when they see me. It's like, I don't know. It's like, you know, maybe it's the beard. I'm looking like Jesus. I don't know. It's just like, Pastor Jeff, you know, language gets cleaned up. I mean, it's amazing. It's just like, this is crazy. But here's the reason why we can control our emotions in those situations. Because when people come into our area of influence and we want to impress them, all of a sudden we get this control. We gain this control that maybe just a minute ago was out of control. Why? Because there's people that we care to impress. And so all of a sudden we have that control. That's why emotions are probably the ugliest with the people that we love the most. Because we lose that sense of wanting to impress them. Why? Because, man, they see me all the time. I see them all the time. And we start taking those people for granted. And the people that we ought to show the best side of our emotions are the people most often getting the worst side of our emotions. But it shouldn't be like that. Not only should we be able to have control, but God's given us, again, a helper to help control us. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what, church? Self-control. When the Spirit comes and lives inside of you, that part of you that just can't seem to get things right starts getting things right. Why? Because there's a supernatural impartation being given in your weaknesses so that you can be strong even though you're weak. Now, in Galatians, it goes on to talk, or not Galatians, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it goes on to talk about this. It says, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. How do you know the Spirit of God is moving strongly in your life? There's self-control more than there is fear. There's self-control more than there is fear. Now, Christians can be full of the Spirit and be fearful, but it says that God isn't giving us a spirit of fear or of being afraid, but He gives us a spirit that is powerful and that is loving and that is full of control. This is convicting. Because some of you are like, well, the Spirit lives in me, but how come I still feel like my emotions are so out of control? And it really comes down to this. See, when you make a decision that you're going to have Christ come live inside of you, that's a great decision that you should make. Everybody should make that. But this idea that we're talking about, this idea of conviction and control, this isn't like a one-time deal. This is a daily struggle. This is a daily decision that we're making. You know, a few weeks ago, we were over in Oxnard, and we went to this shopping center, and I noticed that there are these, like, I don't know, they look like gas pumps, and there were these really nice cars, like, you know, hooking up to these pumps, and I was asking the guy that was with me, I go, what are those things? He goes, those are electric filling stations for these cars called Teslas. I was like, oh, I've seen those. Those are really nice cars. He goes, yeah, they're all electric, and it's pretty crazy technology. And I said, yeah, it's crazy technology, but you still need to plug it in to give it power. Like, I can't imagine being, going down the freeway, and all of a sudden, boo, and the car loses power. It's like, oh, I forgot to charge it up today. Bummer. And it just stops on you. That's a bummer. But so how you prevent the car from quitting on you is you got to keep it charged up. And I think in Scripture, what we read over and over again is it's our job to keep ourselves full of the Spirit. And the way we keep ourselves full of the Spirit is we let the Spirit lead our lives daily. That's how we do it. It doesn't happen just on its own, by default. You have to put yourself in a position to allow it to take place. Now, when you do that, it's amazing. Galatians goes on and talks about that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Let me tell you something. We all have cravings, right? Some of you, it's for Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Others of you, it's a double-double from In-N-Out Burger, right? We all have different cravings. Some of you have a sweet craving. Others of you have a greasy craving. But when it comes to sin, we all have different cravings. But the fact is, we all have cravings, sinful cravings that want to veer us off the course from the blessings and the favor of God. And so how do we avoid giving ourselves over to these sinful cravings, which I think emotions are there? Verse 17 says this, "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires." These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Now, listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:14. Write this down. Romans 8:14. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Here's reality. All of us are being led by someone or something in our lives. We all are. We're following something. You might say you're a leader, but even leaders follow something or someone. And so I'm kind of tired of the term Christian because I think it's like way overused in our culture. And if you ask somebody, "Hey, are you a Christian?" and they're American, they'll say yes. I mean, it doesn't really have significance like maybe it did thousands of years ago. When I approach somebody, I like to ask them a question that allows me to kind of see where they're at more with their faith. And I ask, "Are you a follower of Jesus?" And what's the difference there? Because see, when I present it that way, that means that they are intentionally allowing Jesus to lead their life. That's what it means to be a follower. It means somebody's leading you. And so those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. In other words, how do you know that God is in charge of your life? You're following him. Now, you might not be following God. You might be following maybe, you know, your spouse, your kids, your money, your job, your fame. I don't know. But something or someone is leading your life. And God says, when you allow me to be the leader of your life, this area of brokenness when it comes to your emotions is something that I promise you, I will get into a better place in a position so that you can experience the favor and the blessings that I want to give to your life and so that you stop sabotaging relationships and opportunities for your future. Because that's what happens when emotions are out of control. That's what happens when emotions control you and you don't control emotions. So it's a daily process. It's about you sitting down and putting the charging plug of God inside of you, saying, "God, today, lead me by your Spirit." What does that look like? You're opening the Word every morning and you're saying, "God, I wanna just hear from heaven today. What do you have for me today? What do I need to work on inside of me today so that I can let your Spirit lead me today?" Putting on some worship music and saying, "God, I want you to lead me today as I listen to this worship music and I just magnify your name more than anything else in my life, God, so that I know before I leave this house in the morning that you are in front of me and I'm following you. I'm not leading you, you're leading me." Now, with this in mind, I came up with a good tweetable moment for you to just kind of lock in about the idea that what I'm talking about today, and here it is, your private devotion will determine your public emotion. In other words, your private devotion to God will determine your public emotion to the people that are in and around your life. So if you're a child of God, then it's about you recognizing that if you've been letting emotions get the best of you, it's not that you are unable to control your emotions. It's maybe the charge of the Spirit in your life is dead. Maybe today is the first time you've been back at church in a while. Or perhaps this is the first time you've really been seeking God. Maybe an emotional issue caused some headache and heartache, and you're like, I don't know a lot about God, but I know that I need him right now. I need help, and I know this church place is a good place to find him, and I'm glad you came if that's you. Because I believe God wants to heal you today. I believe God wants to tell you today that he doesn't want that for your life any more than you want that for your life. And there's a different way that you can live your life. One where he is leading you and you are following him. Because what does that do? It lines you up with a conviction. Because God is only going to take you to the places that are going to actually help your thinking. Because your thinking ultimately launches your emotions. And he's also going to give you strength in weaknesses where you can't control yourself. He's going to help you in that area as well. I mean, God doesn't want divorce. God doesn't want broken relationships. God doesn't want you like missing out on opportunities for your future because you can't control the rage. You can't control being afraid in any situation. Our culture right now is in an epidemic state of anxiety. And scientists and researchers are trying to find out why, and there's all kinds of factors involved in it. But let me tell you the three most dangerous emotions you could be having in your life that are not in control. And I'm telling you, these are so dangerous. Because I've seen them ruin people's lives over and over and over again. And that is anger, that is fear, and that is sadness. And I'm not saying those things are evil in themselves because God created those emotions. And I believe God showed us these emotions himself in the Word. God got angry. Jesus was sad. The Holy Spirit did get grieved. But let me tell you something, when those emotions control you, it's not a good situation. And so I want to pray for you because you don't have to live like that one more day of your life. If you allow the Spirit of God to come inside of you, you could change today forever. You don't have to be that guy or that girl anymore. And sure, you might have times that old emotional, crazy uncle guy comes by, but when he comes by to visit you, you don't have to let him in anymore. You can say, keep on going because this house belongs to God and God is leading my life. So would you just pray with me? Father, I thank you. I thank you that today, God, you're setting people free. That, Lord, there's some people in here that have enough anger inside of them that could actually murder people. There's some people here that have so much fear inside of them, God, that they don't even want to leave their house. I feel like there's somebody even watching online right now. Fear has kept you even from coming to church today. God doesn't want you living like that. Come to this place. Not only do you need to be around all these other believers, I'm talking to somebody watching online right now. Your kids need this place. The kids need to see other kids that are worshiping God like they do. Don't keep your kids from experiencing God because of fear. That fear is not from God, my friend. Get to church. There's even some here, you're so full of sadness that it's hard for you to go a day without crying over something. And I'm not saying tears are bad, but you and I both know that there's a point where those tears are coming that it's not healthy and it's not godly. God doesn't want you living like that. And today, he wants to set you free. How? By conviction and control. And he wants to come and do that from the inside of you. But I'm not right. I've done a lot of bad things. It doesn't matter. Jesus died for you while you were still an enemy of God. That didn't stop him from dying for you. That just egged him on to do it because he loves you. And he wants this for your life. And others of you, maybe you made this decision, but you haven't been practicing it. You haven't been pursuing it. You haven't been putting your life on the charger every day saying, God, I'm not... You're living inside of me, but God, today I'm making a decision and a declaration that I'm going to let you lead my life. I'm getting back to devotions. I'm seeing that I can't live this life without you leading me. Whether you're there or whether you've never made this decision, if you want to get your life in this position and you're tired of living this way, I'm going to do something so crazy. I felt led to do it last service. I want you guys to come stand up here with me right now. I didn't even do this when I was praying last service. I felt like the Lord said, get the people that really mean business to get up here. You're tired of seeing these emotions get the best of you, and you're saying, you know what? I need to change my life, man. I'm not going to let this go one more day. Come on up here. Come and stand with me. You guys can stand right here with me. Stand right here. Just come on up. Maybe this is just the prayer people are there too, but just come here and stand with me. Stand with me, you guys. Come on up here. I believe God wants to do breakthrough. Cal State, you guys go up there with Pastor Tom. I believe that God wants to give breakthrough and freedom today over people that have been dominated by their emotions. And God is going to set some of you free today. So get up here. Get some prayer. Okay? Get some prayer. You're not alone. You're not alone. Come on up here, you guys. And you that are just remaining sitting, would you just extend your hand and help me pray with these guys? But I want you guys to pray this prayer with me, all right? Some of you, this is the first time you've ever prayed this prayer. Others of you, it's been a while, and this is like a rededication. But I want you to pray this prayer with me. And the rest of the church, you can pray with us too. But pray with me. Say, Jesus, today I give you my life. I acknowledge I'm not perfect. Matter of fact, I've messed up a lot. But I believe you died for me so that I could be saved, so that I could be healed, and so that I could be in control of my emotions instead of my emotions controlling me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today and let me be led by your conviction and led by your control so I can step into your blessings and the favor for my life, for my family, and for my future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our